Boy, that's great to see, isn't it? Amen. God has been doing great things in a lot of our lives. And like I was saying earlier, the testimonies that we have, that we all have, amen, bring God glory. Well, you got an extra hour last night, didn't you? I think it's befitting that I get an extra hour today. I'm just kidding. We're not going to do that. If you got your Bibles, let's go to Psalm 150, the last psalm in your Bible. And I'll just take a few minutes of your time today to encourage you on some things so that the Lord will minister to us. We're doing a series of teachings here on Sunday mornings that I'm entitled, Praise the Lord. Come on, you can do better than that. Praise the Lord. Yep, and what we're doing here, and the reason why you hear everybody doing that, is because when you read in the Bible the phrase, praise the Lord, that's not just a statement, that's not just something to observe, that's a call to action. That's something that you're supposed to be doing. And so what we're doing through this series is we're learning more about the subject of praise for the purpose of us coming through this to where it means more to us in our life than it ever has before, to where the attitude of praise is a part of our life and that we are doing our job the way God's created us to do it. Amen? We started off talking about from 1 Peter 2, verse 9, how the Bible says we're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, His own special people. And it goes on to say, after telling you who you are, it goes on to tell you why you've been created that way. He says, to proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of His darkness into His marvelous light. That means that every single one of us are praise and worshipers. Amen? Yes. Say it with me. Say, I'm a praiser.
I'm a praiser.
And don't confuse that with being an appraiser. We actually have some people here today that actually do that as an occupation. They are an appraiser. And what does that mean? They are declaring value on something. And that's what you do when you praise the Lord. You see the Lord as valuable, and you are esteeming that value on Him by declaring it out of your mouth. It's the fruit of your lips. Amen. So we learn that this is our occupation. We're not just born again to just sit on a pew and be an observer of something and say we went to church. I was listening to a preacher last night, and he said, people will come to me and say, well, I go to church. He said, well, rats go to church. Whoop-de-doo. It's no big deal. Amen. Well, the Bible says that we are called to be more than that. We're called to be praisers. Amen. And this is something that we are participating in. So when we get together, we have a praise service, or in our own personal homes and lives, we are supposed to be praising God with our life. And that's what we see here in the 150th Psalm when the psalmist says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. So what we're seeing here is this is what everything that has breath in its lungs is called to do. We're all created to give God some praise and glory. And the awesome news is, and what we learned is, not only is this our occupation, it's what we're employed to do, but guess what? There are many benefits. Just like your job that employed you has benefits that come along with it, like a salary, medical or health insurance, life insurance maybe, even dental insurance. You might have all these things. Well, we found that our employment to praise also yields many benefits. We saw this from Psalm 103, where David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then he goes on to describe what those benefits are. Salary being, He forgives me of all my iniquities. Oh, praise God, I have been forgiven of all my sins. I am now having eternal life on the inside of me. I'm now a child of God. That's the salary portion, amen? But like it is with so many people, with the jobs they have, they only care about the salary. They're only worried about how much I'm getting paid per hour. But in a lot of these jobs, you got a lot of other benefits, things you can take advantage of. And in the kingdom of God, it's the same way. You also got some medical or health insurance, glory to God. Which is the next thing David said when he said, not only does he forgive all your iniquities, but he heals all your diseases. Amen. Very few Christians even partake of part of that, right? But not only do you have medical or health insurance, not only do you have a salary, you also got some life insurance. When he goes on to say, who redeems your life from destruction. Amen. But then we kind of made a funny about it and said, you also get some dental insurance too. Why? Because he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. We need to start partaking of some more benefits. And how do you suppose you're going to do it? By being a good employee? A good employee of praise? If you start praising the Lord well, it yields those benefits quicker in your life. Amen. Like, for example, if you have need of healing in your life, what's the best thing you can do? Start praising God that He's your healer. Thank you, Lord, that by your stripes I am healed. Thank you, Lord, you heal all my diseases. You have borne all my sicknesses, carry all my pains. I give you glory for it. And as you begin to praise God for the things He's promised you, you begin to reap those promises in your life. How many of you could lose a little bit more life insurance? And I'm not talking about when you die. How many of you would like to have your life insurance partaken of now? Wouldn't that be pretty nice? You can get some of it now. Well, you can have it now. He redeems your life from destruction, glory to God. So all of these benefits come as we praise the Lord. But what we looked at last time we were together was how to be a good employee. Amen. We actually looked at some scriptures. Did you know there's some New Testament scriptures that teach you how to be a good employee in your workplace? And we shouted and ran around the building when we heard about how to be a better employee, didn't we? Amen. Well, people need to, because the more you learn how to do things God's way better, the more you do reap a lot of these benefits in your life. So we learned that in being a good employee secularly, you can be a good employee of praise the same way. Why? Not doing things as being for eye service, doing things to please man, and working only hard when the boss is around. You know, like the people say, when the boss is away, the mice will play. Right? Those kind of things. We don't want to do those kind of things in our life. Amen. But when we praise the Lord with the right heart, when we serve the Lord well, like for example, when we're in here and we're praising God and we do it with all our heart before the Lord, not worrying what people are going to think if they see us jumping or dancing or doing something like that. We do not get moved by the fear of man. Amen. Now, we certainly don't do it for the love of man either, because we're wanting people to look at us and be drawn to us and give us their attention and so forth. But the bottom line is there's a fine line between it. I need to not care what people think. And the fact is there's a lot of people that are not free during the time of praise. And I'm not just talking about our church. It's all around. You can go to the First Church of the Frozen Chosen down the street, and you'll find people just standing there, and if it wasn't for them blinking, you might think somebody has passed away. Well, that's not what praise is supposed to be like. Amen. When we praise the Lord, we should be enthusiastic. We should be excited. In fact, the person that comes and tells me all the time and says, well, that's just not my personality, Pastor. That's not the way I'm wired. Well, let me give you another way to look at that. Well, if I took you to a Georgia football game and we watch one of them players wearing red and black go into an end zone with a piece of inflated pigskin and score a touchdown, and you lose your mind when that happens, don't come to me saying, well, that's not my personality to praise the Lord like that. No, the truth is, one thing has your heart and the other thing don't. When the Lord has your heart, when you are thankful, like the Bible says, those that are forgiven much, love much. And this is my testimony. When I got saved, I came out of a real bad lifestyle. I had a lot of things that I did wrong. I told people I was a professional sinner. I mean, I was the best sinner out there. And I don't mean I was the best one morally. I'm saying I did sinning the best. If you name sin, I probably did it. And so when God got a hold of my life and changed my life, things happened to where I was super excited about the change that happened. Because why? The sky was bluer. The grass was greener. When my life was changed, I knew it. And there was a change in my eyes. People said, your eyes even changed. Because why? I was delivered from a lot of demons. Well, guess what? When I got filled with a good Holy Spirit, hallelujah, then guess what happened? During all those times of praise, which I'm thankful I went to a church, it was kind of like a Church of God type church, around the time of the Brownsville revival. You ever heard of that? So it was an akin revival to that. So when all these things were going on during the praise service, I'll tell you what, I was front and center. I was always on the front, and we would run, we would dance, we would shout, we would do all kinds of stuff that I can guarantee you, if a lot of y'all would have gone to that church during that time, you'd have thought we were a bunch of lunatics. But the truth is, we were just fanatics. Fanatics of Jesus and what he had done in our life. Because why? When you have your life impacted by what the Lord has done, when your heart is changed and your heart becomes full of that, you're not going to sit back and just not let it out. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it's not really hard to tell what's in somebody's heart. All you got to do is just ask them to go to lunch and let them talk for an hour. Because whatever they end up going to and talking about is more than likely what's in their heart in abundance. I like to say it this way, not out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I say out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth leaks. And a lot of times, just the things that end up coming out, and what do you find come out of most people's mouth? Bitterness, anger, all kinds of negative vices and things like that. That's not what God wants our heart full of. He wants his heart, our heart, full of him, full of what he's done, so that his praises come out of our life. So what I'm going to start talking about this week, and we'll move into in the future weeks. In fact, I want to go ahead and prepare you of something. All you people that like to come in late to church, not throwing rocks, but I'm going to go ahead and warn you. We're going to be switching things up to where the praise time is going to be done at the end. So no more of the sneaking in while all the music's going on. I'll be preaching when you walk in, and everybody will know you're walking in. So you might want to take advantage of this extra hour and get some good new habits and show up on time. Praise God. Amen. Because why? We're wanting to learn, but then do. We want to find out what praise is, and then let's practice some of it. And what you're going to find out today is being employed to praise, having this occupation and working for the Lord as being a praiser, has job functions. How many of you have ever gone to work at a place and they gave you maybe a manual or a sheet of paper that told you all your job duties, outlined them to you and showed you exactly what you were responsible for, so there's no confusion that when the boss says, have you done this, you're aware of what you're supposed to have done, right? Any good job will do that for you. But I'm here to tell you today, the same thing happens with praise. God actually tells you not just that you should praise him. He doesn't leave it up to you to determine how you do it. He actually tells you how he wants it done. And what you're going to find out today, it's going to make you squirm a little bit. You're going to find out that some of God's job duties of praise that he has outlined to us through the various Hebrew words for praise show a whole lot of demonstrative action. It's not this quiet, sit back, not opening my mouth kind of thing. It is getting into it to where you might sweat a little bit like your pastor does. To where you might get ugly for Jesus a little bit. Amen. Because that's what the Lord's looking for, because he wants your heart. Amen. Now, it's the same thing that when you work a job, you know, like I said, you don't have the privilege when you work somewhere to do things your way. You do it your employer's way, right? It's his way, her way, or it's the highway, right? It's the same way with the Lord. We got to do things his way and put on some things. And so as I was thinking about this, now I kind of see the direction that we're going to go today. There's a lot of people around us. Now, I'm not sitting here ascribing one way or the other. I personally don't celebrate Halloween, but I do want to share with you that there are a lot of people on this planet that earlier this week dressed up in some costumes. They put some masks on. They did certain things that maybe were not a clear reflection of who they really were. Right? Like, for example, somebody might have put a mask on that looked like it was smiling when really they weren't happy. Amen? What's your point, Pastor? My point is today, sometimes you got to put on some things. And the Bible says a whole lot about putting on various things. Now, because Matt Fabian likes it so much, I'm going to give this example again. What if y'all showed up today to church? What if y'all showed up for church today and service is starting and Pastor Trey's supposed to get up to speak and he's nowhere to be found? And all of a sudden you're like, everybody's like, where's Pastor Trey at? And everything like that. And all of a sudden this door over here just swings wide open and Pastor Trey comes running out from the back in his birthday suit, comes out here and gets on the stage, grabs the mic and says, praise the Lord. Somebody's going to probably yell out and say, for God's sake, man, put some clothes on. Well, what if I responded and said to you, well, I don't believe in putting on. I believe in just being real. And if this is the way I am, this is just the way I'm going to be. You're just going to have to deal with it. Well, I'm going to promise you something. You have that line of thinking, go down to downtown Macon this afternoon in your birthday suit and see how acceptable that is in society. See if you're able to go home the same way you came. I guarantee you, you're going to get locked up. Right? Because why? It's not acceptable to be the way you think you need to be around other people. It's not an acceptable part of society. Likewise, in the kingdom of God, it's not acceptable for you to just do the things you feel like doing. The Apostle Paul spoke a lot about put on certain virtues. He would tell you to put off some things, some vices. And he'd also tell you to put on things like love, humility. Put on all of these various things. Well, I'm here to tell you something else you need to be putting on. Isaiah 61. We're going to just put it on the screen for you today. Isaiah, which is widely known as being the fifth gospel. And the reason why is because there's so many references in it to the Savior, to the Messiah, and everything it forecasts, everything He would do for us, like the Gospels tell us, everything He fulfilled. So in Isaiah, which this is at the end of the book, he tells us a lot of different things that are very things that we need to apply in our life in order to do things God's kingdom way. And he says here, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So what are you seeing right here? God has actually given you some other clothes that you should put on. And what are they? The garments of praise. Now I'm going to tell you, sometimes on Monday morning, now I'm blessed that I've been where you're at if you work a job that you hate to go to. And Mondays roll around and your alarm goes off on Monday. I know how hard it is to turn that alarm off, get up, put some clothes on, put a smile on your face, and go do your job. I get that. I've done that. But I'm here to tell you today, it's the same way when it comes to serving the Lord in praise. You might have a spirit of heaviness all over you. You might say, this isn't my personality. I'm not feeling it. And various things like that. But God calls you to put on something during that time. To adopt His way of rejoicing and giving Him glory. Amen? Putting those clothes on of praise. We were sharing this testimony this week during our prayer time about how I told you in my testimony about how I was so demonstrative when I would praise the Lord. And was just all over the place. I mean, you think I sweat bad now. It was bad. And I used to target some of the ladies there and go and hug them and wipe that sweat all over them while I do. I remember one time I was so excited on one service, and we ran around the church. Several people ran around the church, and I came out into the foyer and went up to this guy and went, "Praise the Lord!" And he looked at me and he goes, "Boy, you done lost your mind." And I didn't skip a beat, and I said, "That's right," and I got the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. I was just excited. Well, I remember that there was this one time where I had a depression come all over me. And listen, it was a spiritual thing. The devil was coming to try to get me off the plan God had for my life. And I was all oppressed for about a week. It was all over me, to where those times where it's hard to even pray, to read your Bible. You might not even feel like going to church. And let me give you a good tip today. The times you don't feel like doing it the most is the time you do need to do it the most. I can't tell you how many times I've run into people that said, "Man, everything in me was saying, don't go to church today. Just roll over, go back to sleep. You don't need to go." And they ended up pushing through it, and they came, and it was because they needed something. There was something there that God was going to minister to them or bless them with. I hear it happen all the time. Well, I was going to church, and I remember I came in, and I'm just oppressed. There's just this dark cloud on me, and they start the song service, and they're praising the Lord, and I'm standing there like, God. And I had the thought go through my mind that said, if you only praise God when you feel like it, you're a hypocrite. If I only praise God when it's convenient for me, when I want to, then that's the definition of hypocrisy. You got to do it all the time, whether you feel it or not. Amen? And so I remember I was sitting next to this person at that time, and I remember I was like, "That's right, I need to do it." And so what I did was I bumped that person. I said, "Watch this." And I started jumping, and I started praising, and I started lifting my hands, and I started doing a jig there at the front of the church. Did I feel like doing it? No! I felt like crying. I felt like being sad. I didn't feel like doing these things to praise the Lord, but I knew that I got to do it during that time on that side of the sea just as much as I need to do it on the other side. If you're lost right now on what reference I'm talking about the Red Sea. When the Bible says that they came to the edge of the Red Sea, Moses had led the children of Israel on their exodus, and they were there, and they had this seemingly insurmountable impasse. We're stuck. And then they find out Pharaoh's coming on the other side. They're surely toast. There's no way you can go. And what are they doing? What happened during that time? Well, they started blaming Moses. They started saying, did you lead us out here to die? And they started just complaining, murmuring, probably were in all kinds of fear. Well, you know what happened next. God spoke to Moses, said, "Stretch out your rod," and what happens next? The Bible says that with a blast from God's nostrils, he parted the Red Sea. That's what the psalmist said. See, you don't really realize this, but God's got a real good sense of humor. I could see God sitting up there in heaven and said, "All right, wait for it, wait for it. Pharaoh's coming in. Red Sea's still here. Wait for it, Michael, wait for it." And then he goes, "Watch this, Michael." Blows his nose, and the Bible says the Red Sea congealed. Wonder why that happened. God's got a good sense of humor, hallelujah. Well, what happens? They cross over on dry ground, they get on the other side, and what happened next? Miriam and all them women started grabbing their tambourines and started dancing and saying, "The horse and the rider, he's thrown into the sea," and they started rejoicing and praising God for the great deliverance that he had brought for them. That's a great idea, isn't it? They sang the right song, though, but on the wrong side of the sea. That's the time when Pharaoh's closing in, when the Red Sea is in front of you, when you're seeming like you're having all this pressure on you. That's the time to break out those tambourines. That's the time to put on the garment of praise. And that's the time to begin to rejoice in the Lord. I wonder what would have happened if they would have started praising God like that. Kind of like 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when you got old jumping Jehoshaphat and his armies. And they got all these armies coming against them, right? Well, the Lord speaks to them, and what ends up happening? They put the praisers out on the front lines. Because the Lord said the battle belongs to Him. He's going to deliver them. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And He puts the praisers out on the front. And it wrought such a tremendous victory. Not only were their enemies defeated, but they were for days, not just one day, not just for a few hours, but for days, they were collecting the spoils of their enemy. Possibly, if the children of Israel would have praised God on the right side of the sea, all of Pharaoh's riches wouldn't have been washed down the Red Sea. Amen. I'm just here to tell you, when you learn to praise God in the face of adversity, when you don't feel like it, when things are going on all around you like that, that's the time that you can see some supernatural deliverance. Kind of like the Bible says over in Acts chapter 16, that when Paul and Silas are locked up in that jail cell, and the Bible says at midnight, they begin to pray and sing hymns. And what happened? God sent an earthquake, shook that jail cell, opened the doors, their chains fell off. But they did it not to get free. They did it because it was their responsibility. You know how I know that? Because they didn't leave when they got free. They stayed right there. I'm here to tell you today, when you do what God has called you to do, when you praise God with the right heart because it's the right thing to do, and you do it His way, which we will learn in the weeks to come when we look at all these Hebrew words of praise, you'll find out God's way is very specific. He wants you to be clamorously foolish. He wants you to act like a madman. He wants you to dance. He wants you to shout. He wants you to be demonstrative in how you worship the Lord. Because why? Not just because it blesses Him, but because it will bless you when you do it His way. That's when you start reaping those benefits and getting everything God said you can have. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So next week what we're going to do is we're going to start off the service with maybe a song. Then I'm going to minister and share with you some things about these couple of Hebrew words for praise. And then you're going to get an opportunity to practice. Isn't that going to be exciting?
Yeah.
So you might want to loosen up a little bit and not wear your best ditties on that particular day, because you might get some wrinkles in your clothes if you do it God's way. Amen? Do it like David did. Do it like David did. You remember when David led the ark back into Israel? Glory be to Jesus. It's awesome. He danced before the Lord with all his might. And in doing so, people thought he was crazy. People thought he was undignified. People thought he shouldn't have been doing that. But he didn't care. He only cared about honoring for the Lord. That's what he told his wife when his wife said, "Oh, how honorable was the king today before all his people." And he turns around and says to her, he said, "Woman," that's a good way to start your conversation with your wife. "Woman, it was before the Lord, not for you. And I will become even more undignified than this." You want to know what Trey's translation says right there? "Woman, if you thought that was getting ugly, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm going to let loose and I'm going to praise the Lord even more than I did them." And that's what the Lord wants us to do. Get our hearts full of Him so that we're praising the Lord. We're giving Him the hallelujahs. We're giving Him the praise. We're doing it exactly the way the Lord has called us to do it. Because why? He is worthy. Let's stand on our feet. Oh, thank you, Pastor Robert. I didn't get to the end of that story. He said, "What happened when you started jumping?" Yeah, I didn't feel like it. I didn't have any feelings. But you know what was awesome? Is when I did it by faith, the feelings came. When you praise God, when you worship the Lord by faith, feelings will come. Especially when it's the most difficult. Especially when it's the hardest. And I know for some of you, the hardest thing would be this. Say this is the front of the pew in front of you. This would be the hardest thing for you. And I get it. I'm just step out in the aisle just a little bit. and rock a little bit. Amen. Some of you are not even used to raising your hands. Well, you can do like Tim Hawkins, that Christian comedian. He goes through this whole thing of what all the different hand motions of praise are. He said, just start off holding the baby. Nobody's got to see your hands. Just hold the baby. Amen. And then the next time, just raise the hands just a little bit. And then a couple more weeks later, you get a little bit more comfortable, and you're swinging these hands all around. And people better watch out and not get too close to you, right? Why? Because we do it for the Lord. And because our hearts are full of Him. This is what you're called to. Hallelujah. Man, I had a great message this morning all planned up to talk about happy Halloween. Y'all missed it, because that's one of the Hebrew words for praise. But put it on. Clothe yourself in these garments of praise and make the decision that you're going to praise God with reckless abandon. Doing your job well, performing all your job functions that the Lord told you to do, and you give God all the praise. So right now, let's lift our hands to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, these hands are lifted high. These hands are raised to glorify You. And we thank You that not only these hands, but these mouths, these eyes, these every part of us is created to give You praise and glory. So Lord, today we're making a commitment to put on the garments of praise. That even if there's a spirit of heaviness all over us, we will lift our hands up and give You the praise and the glory. Come on, in your own words right now, just give Him some praise. Glory to Your name. We give You the praise and the honor and the glory. There is none like You, none besides You. You are high and lifted up. There is no other God besides You. You have done great things for us, Lord. And we thank You that just as You brought the children of Israel out, and You brought that exodus into their life, You've brought us out of Egypt. You've redeemed us from this world. You've brought us into a place of being delivered from the tyranny of Pharaoh and all of his men. And so the devil has no more power over us, no more control, no more dominion does sin have over us. We are free. We are free. We are free in Christ Jesus. We give You the praise for that freedom, for that deliverance, and for all that You've done for us. We give You the praise. And we choose today to put on these garments of praise in our everyday life, living our lives to honor, worship, and glorify You. We thank You in this place today for all that You have done for us and for showing us keys to reaping all the benefits contained in that 103rd Psalm. You are so faithful to us, so good to us. We love You. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Lord, I know that You have sent people here today for a purpose, and it goes even beyond the reason that they feel like they are here today. They thought they came for this reason. But Lord, there's other things You seek to accomplish in these people's lives. We thank You, Father. If our prayer ministers will come forward, if some of you would come up being ready to pray over people. Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds. Speak to our souls. And let us know what we need to apply to our life today. If the Lord's been tugging at your heart today, if you've been maybe feeling a pull to Him to get your life right with the Lord, this is a great time to do it. And we're not bringing this up because we're just trying to get another scalp in the kingdom. We're bringing this up because today is the day of salvation. This is the right time for the Lord to do a work in your life. You're not promised tomorrow, but you are promised a good life when you give God your heart. So anybody in here that maybe has filled a pull today, that it's a good time for you, we got people up here that would be willing to pray over you and pray with you. and bless your life. And if anybody else needs agreement in any other way, if you need prayer, maybe you're going through a tough time, maybe you need somebody like Moses did at times to hold your arms up until the victory comes. This is a great group of people at this church to agree with you and bring those things to pass. So if anybody needs prayer, we ask you to come forward. Please respect anything that's going on up here at the front and take any conversations outside while this is happening so that we can see the Lord do what He wants to do in people's lives. But Lord, we thank You today for Your goodness and Your grace and Your mercy, for showing us, teaching us, helping us. In Jesus' name.